The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Right here on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Just before we got on air, Kelly and I were breaking down the phrase "fond of." When was the last time you used that? I am fond of you. It was,
I don't know that I've ever used it. Honestly,
Sean, who was in our ear, was saying that someone was fond of someone, and so we were like, "Wow, when was the last time you used that expression?"
Yeah. Not one that's in my regular vocabulary. No,
we probably won't use that over the next 2 hours, but we will talk to Will Hill. He's got his football plays. Pritch will be with us. Pritch, please. He'll be with us to talk NFL as well. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Kelly and I look at more playoff bets in the National Football League, let you know where our heads are at with all of that. And I want to do something here momentarily because we're always so close to the sun with this stuff with, you know, the minutia of the NFL playoffs. Let's take a step back here momentarily and just do to win the Super Bowl. For those who are newish bettors or casual bettors, let's just look at conferences in the Super Bowl itself. Because I think, is there value in that?
There are some odds in those markets that strike me as a bit odd. I will say that.
We rarely just do that.
I know, we rarely do. Yeah, we rarely do.
We all have the casual friends that are like, oh, who thinks going to be in the Super Bowl? Who's going to win it? And then, of course, if you're wrong, they're like, oh, you don't know anything. But we'll talk about it from a betting perspective. Before we do all that, because we don't usually tie one show into the other. It's not a soap opera here, although some may say it is. Yesterday, we got down this rabbit hole of... And how did we get on this?
No idea.
How did we get on this?
Why we got on.
But we talked about famous press conferences in the history of American sports. Yeah. And we talked about, you know, Jim Mora.
But we saw Jim Mora. Is that how we got on?
We saw Jim Mora afterwards. He's actually doing a DraftKings spot where he's capitalizing on the old playoffs. So there's that. There was the Allen Iverson. We talked about practice, not the game. Not the game, practice. We talked about that. Someone after the show also, people were talking about Rasheed Wallace during the show. Both teams played hard. And someone after the show, Denny Green, of course. We are who they thought they were.
That one is...
It's classic.
That one's way up there for me, too.
Like, we are who they thought they were. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Wait, let them off the hook.
This last night isn't going to live up to that. However, we thought because we happened to talk about this yesterday that we'd bring it up today. Lakers beat the Raptors last night, 132-131. Did not cover as 5-point favorites, but if you had the Raptors money line at +170, you ain't happy. And the reason for that brings us to what we're about to talk about, which is that the Lakers got 23 free throw attempts in the fourth quarter. In fact, in the final 4 minutes, they got 19 free throw attempts and the Raptors got zero. And Raptors head coach Darko Rajakovic was asked about this after the game.
That's outrageous. What happened tonight, this is completely BS. This is shame. Shame for the referees, shame for the league to allow this. 23 free throws for them and we get two free throws in the fourth quarter. Like, how to play the game? I understand respect for all stars and all that, but we have star players on our team as well. How's possible that Scotty Barnes, who is all-star caliber player in this league, he goes every single time to the rim with force and trying to get to the rim without flopping and not trying to get foul calls. He gets two free throws for a whole game. How's that possible? How are you going to explain that to me? They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
just
give them the win.
Just give them the win. Darko Rajakovic, Serbian, you may detect from the accent. He's the first ever foreign-born G League head coach ever in the history of the G League, and he is the head coach of the Raptors. This is his first season. There's so many things I like about that. First of all, he's right. Let's just start there. I mean, the free throw discrepancy, if you talk to anyone who does not like the NBA, that star system run amok is probably reason number one of many. Or it's up there if it's not reason number one. But there's so many things, first of all.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's a part of the game, but it's a part of, like, if you are, we were talking about it like a few weeks ago.
With this
someone,
is shame.
Someone. But like LeBron's, when people go crazy about LeBron yelling at refs over fouls and stuff like this and yelling for fouls, it's when you're becoming a star in the NBA, it's a skill that you have to develop. And not even a skill, but it just the, if you think you got hacked, you better be yelling about it right away, because that's what draws attention from the referees.
But he is right. And so, so many things I like about this.
By the way, LeBron didn't take a single one of these shots. That's the best part of this, maybe. AD was 11 for 11.
Yeah. Again, 19-0 in the final 4 minutes of this game, and the Lakers win it 132-131. There's no basketball game that has 19 free throw attempts on one side and zero on the other that is correctly officiated, one would think. It would be very rare for that to happen. Or as Darko Rajakovic said, like, how to play the game. So we have players on our team as well. The best part of that is when he goes to Scotty Barnes, I don't know if you noticed, he goes, how's possible, Scotty? And then he actually looks down at his play sheet and goes, Barnes, because he couldn't remember his name for a second.
He's the best player on your team, man.
Later, we didn't run this part, but he says, it's a complete crap, which I appreciated because he made it singular.
Yep.
With his accent.
Yep.
So he was kind of measured. He's talking about
it. Yeah, it was BS at the beginning, ended with a crap. I guess it's not complete foul language, but he'll be hearing from the league.
It's a complete crap. My dad used to do that. My dad was not Serbian, but my dad was born in Bulgaria. He used to accidentally say things that were hip. So if he wanted to ask me, what is it? He would twist the words and he'd be like, Gil, what it is? And I'd be like, I don't know, Abba, what it is with you.
What it is with you.
So he would do stuff like that. The it's just so great. So I don't think that'll rise to Denny Green level or to Allen Iverson or Jim Mora level. But that was something last night. He's absolutely right about that. Oh, one last thing. The reporters, if you watch the full presser, I felt like they were kind of asking the same question over and over to egg him on to continue. So they'd be like, I didn't get that, Coach Rajakovic. I didn't get that. Could you explain how you felt about the 23 free throws in the fourth quarter? It sort of reminded me, I don't know if you remember the old Howard Stern. There's a famous Howard Stern bit. It wasn't a bit. It just happened organically. He had some old Jewish comic who was actually other things by trade, not just necessarily comic, but he became a comic when he got older. His name was Abe Hirschfeld on his show. This is like early 2000s. And for whatever reason, the late Gilbert Gottfried was in the studio with Howard Stern. And Gottfried was so amused by Hirschfeld's accent that he kept making him tell the same joke over and over.
Oh my gosh.
So he'd be like, wait, the microphones don't work in here. Could you tell the joke again? And so he would start the same. He'd go, a 10-year-old boy at the Friars Club. And he would just tell it over and over. It was hysterical. Anyway, that's how it felt like with the press conference yesterday. All right, about the NFL then. So we want to look at the conferences or we want to look at Super Bowl first? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's go conferences.
Let's go conferences. All right. We begin with the AFC, where the Ravens, the number one seed, are plus 125. And the Bills, everybody's the team you don't want to play, the number two seed, at plus 260. Chiefs with the home game, where the temperature's just looking colder and colder this weekend, at 5-1. Their opponent, the Dolphins, 9-1. Everybody else in double digits. Did something there? Did the Browns, let me guess, did the Browns at 14-1 seem long to you? Is that what you're getting at?
I think the top of these markets make a lot of sense.
I do too.
I think once you go a little further down, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've talked to at least a couple people this week that are really high on either like the Browns, Texans, or even Chiefs. I mean, shop around, you could probably find a longer number than 5-1. But, you know, okay, if you're playing them this weekend, I'm probably adding a bit of that.
Which part? The Chiefs?
No, like if you're playing, like I'm saying, if you're playing Browns, Texans, this weekend, like I'm probably adding a bit of 14 or 15-1.
And if you believe that the Browns, who did go nip and tuck with the Ravens right before already this year.
I mean, we've talked about it already this week. I will not be shocked. I'll be shocked if the Steelers. I won't be shocked if any other one of the rest of these teams somehow comes out of the AFC.
Now, remember, with all this, it's reseeding. So, you know, if you're in your mind's eye, if you're like, well, I think the Browns are going to end up playing the Ravens in round two, that would be if all the favorites got through, right, and the Browns did as well as the five over the four. But remember, that's not, if that doesn't happen, and the Steelers were to upset the Ravens, let's just use it, the Bills, let's just use the extreme, the Steelers would go to Baltimore 2 weeks out of three after that last Week 18 game. NFC conference as well, National Football Conference, in terms of the odds that are out there, Niners minus 125. Cowboys plus 320, Eagles plus 750. I don't get that at all.
Me either.
But the Rams at 20-1 would be the one that sort of leaps off the page.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. That. Absolutely with the Rams. And then just this is what, like, I checked in on this like Sunday, Monday. And you're like, how are the Lions as long or longer than the Eagles? And I know Sam LaPorta's hurt, and yeah. I know that. Me and you might not exactly even be the biggest Lions guy, but with everything that's gone wrong with the Eagles,
yeah.
I mean, I they should be well behind Detroit, in my opinion.
Even if they do get by the Bucks, they yeah. should be. Yeah. It's fascinating. And, of course, the Super Bowl odds will reflect that generally then. All of these derivative from the Super Bowl odds to the conference. But if you just look at it, I mean, and look, and I'm just going to say in advance, I'm in the tank for the Ravens and the Niners. I'm in the tank for the number one seeds. So just full disclosure, I will not be making any of these bets. But if you are not in the same frame of mind about the Ravens and the Niners and feel that they are vulnerable, I think those are the teams, and for the Super Bowl ones, the ones that we just highlighted,
yeah.
Browns are 35-1 and the Rams are 45-1. Just remember receding, but if the Browns do end up playing the Ravens, and if the Rams do end up playing the Niners, you might even think that those division round games, those number one seeds, are vulnerable. Anyway, interesting to look at those just from a macro. We'll get into more micro coming up. Will Hill joined us, all his football picks. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, for instance, Steve Mackinnon does a great job of this. Compares the characteristics of past Super Bowl champions to this year's playoff teams. Is that accurate there, Kelly? I think that's a phenomenal, phenomenal sort of exercise to go through. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. I like that kind of similar traits kind of thing.
Yeah, same characteristics as previous Super Bowl winners.
Exactly. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from David Berliner, talking about what we were talking about. Post-game rants. He said, I'd submit Dan Hawkins from Colorado. It's the Big 12. Go play intramurals, brother. Primetime Cowboys _Cubs1. Funny that you mentioned it, but I'm fond of Jason Weingarten's ability to see through the cloud of smoke and see the good in U.S. postal workers everywhere. Please tell us he has a good story for us today from his escapades to the post office recently. I hope he does. Yeah, again, he has one that you can't share on air. That's just spectacular. But
I mean,
hopefully
he's there every other day. So, PG. Yeah.
Can we talk about this for a second?
He's probably been there four times since we last had
him on. Jason sent me. He's like, yeah, I was just at the post office. I was like, Jason, why are you always at the post office? And he goes, oh, I send like 100 packages a month, probably. I go, 100 packages? What are you doing? What is it? Like collectibles? He goes, mostly model airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Model airplane.
That's the thing. That's the thing with Jason.
Are you buying or selling? He goes, mostly selling. Okay. This is from...
Yeah, we'll have to ask him about that. How does that work? You buy it, you put it together, you glue it together, and then you sell it?
You're asking me. What do you think I do after this?
What is that? That's like buying a jigsaw puzzle and having someone put it together for you, and then you buying it from
them. A 10-year-old boy, he was at the Friars Club. Mike Alvarez. We think that Coach's English is very, very well. Signed, mine and Gil's dad's. You better don't call zero fouls on Scotty... Barnes next game, Scott, New York, best 16. When Rajakovic and Scotty Barnes said Scotty Barnes goes to the rim and falls down, quote, without flopping, unquote. I wonder if he had anyone in particular in mind. And Len Klauzenski, Gil, that spot about the Raptors coach was hilarious. I follow international basketball. These international coaches take the game serious. Best spot of the interview. Just call us up and we will forfeit the game. That was great, Lenny.
I love the part you pointed out of the let me look and check his last name, because the Raptors, if you haven't been keeping up with the NBA, are currently in the process of basically resetting their team and rebuilding around.
That's right.
One Scotty Barnes
traded Ananobi.
Traded OG Ananobi. Yeah. Poeltl just went down with an injury. Everybody expects Siakam to be moved here at some point. So it's so great when you're building around a guy and you have to be like, Scotty, just name again Barnes. That's what we're doing here.
We have star players on our team as well. How's possible, Scotty Barnes?
Will Hill joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is not only the star of the Megapod, which we're recording today with Mr. Dr. Eric Eager, but also a star of the Bear Bets Pods, which he does with Chris Felica. Chris Felica's Pods, college and pro football versions over at Fox Sports. Will joins us now. How you doing, Will? You got your own podcast now, don't you?
I do, and good thing, keep reminding me that we're recording today, because I'm a schedule guy, I'm a routine guy, so the fact that we're on Wednesday, I need to be reminded every couple of minutes or
me
so.
Too.
A couple things. Your Gilbert Godfrey impersonation could use a little bit of work. Maybe we'll get to that on Megapod. Sorry. Maybe Wishnev can do one. Maybe
apologies.
Wishnev and I can have a little Gilbert Godfrey impression competition on the Megapod. And you're so right about the press conferences. Like, they used to be so much more entertaining. I know people have, like, you know, they glorify the past, but I remember growing up as a kid in the 90s, the coaches, especially in the NFL, were so much more colorful, like Parcells and Jim Mora, and then you mentioned Denny Green, like Dick, these guys. Like, the press conference would be almost as good as the game, where they flip out about the refs, their team, whatever, and they'd be honest and they'd give you these sound clips. We really don't get that anymore. A lot of these newer guys, these younger guys, are more buttoned up.
They really are. And it's the Belichickian way, isn't it? Right. We're on to Cincinnati, yeah. Which is the best thing he ever gave us. We're on to Cincinnati over and over. But that's how it is now. Sadly, I mean, the Dan Campbell opener, right, where he said we're going to bite kneecaps, comes to mind as a more recent thing. But yeah, other than that, nothing really does. Where did you
one of the underlines in the Mora, like everyone talks about playoffs, and that's like the highlight of that rant. He goes, I just hope we can win another game. Like, he's just ripping his team.
Yeah. But as we pointed out yesterday with Iverson, he now laments the fact that is what, you know, he had this his Hall of Fame, fantastic career. And this was a moment in his life where someone close to him had died, and he was getting all this incoming about missing a practice. And He hates that's lost in it, and he hates that also from across the street when people see him, they'll be like, hey, playoffs, right? You know, or not playoffs, but they'll be like,
it's funny what sticks and what doesn't.
Yeah. All right, so wild card week. This has been pretty interesting, just anecdotally. People are kind of all over the place, except for the Kansas City-Miami game. Feels like everybody is playing the, and correctly so, by the way, it's justifiable. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It may very well manifest, which is, look, they're from Miami to begin with, and they're going to play in what might be one of the coldest games ever in the NFL in history. It's where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet at 0 degrees. It might feel even colder than that. And then you have, I mean, almost half of the Dolphins' defense gone. Bradley Chubb with the ACL, Jalen Phillips with the Achilles, Xavien Howard is going to be out for this game with the ankle, Van Ginkle with the foot. Who am I forgetting? Baker with the foot injury as well. Where do you stand on that game? Where do you stand on the others?
With everybody else, I like the Chiefs. I just think Tua has two fatal flaws. He struggles with pressure. He struggles with the cold, and he's going to get a lot of both. I think Spagnuolo will know how to bring pressure. I just think, like, the jury, the verdict is in here with Tua. And I just think, like, you know, he's in the same camp. I compare him to Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, all right, we don't have that many good quarterbacks in this league. Do you really want to just kick him to the curb? He's probably top 8, top 10, top 12, whatever quarterback. But, man, you're going to pay that guy, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, you're going to pay these guys a lot of money. I don't know about that. I just think the Chiefs, look, we know it's not their best team. We know they're diminished at receiver. To me, this is a good spot for the Chiefs. Remember, it's a short week for Miami, too. They have to play Sunday night. Now they turn around and play Saturday. So I like the Chiefs. Let me ask you this, you know, mentioning Lawrence and Tua, it brought something to mind, because I was listening the other day, and I meant to text you. I was like, you know what? I'll just save it for the show or the Megapod. Bill Simmons on his podcast, you know, he likes to bring up these hypothetical trades. He brought up a trade, and it's just more of a thought exercise, but Trevor Lawrence to Washington for the number 2 overall pick. Who says no? I thought that was interesting. What would you do there?
Skit and say no. Washington says no.
Wow.
Washington says no, and kind of quickly, I think. actually.
That's interesting. I don't love Lawrence. I've been in your camp where it's like, let's see if he's really this guy, and he's completely not going to be, you know, the guy we expected, this generational player, but he is still pretty good, and it's hard to find core. I don't know. It's interesting. I at least thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question you have to ask, right? It's sort of like, okay, well, he makes us better for sure. Does he win us Super Bowls? You know, which is just ultimately the only question that has to ask. Okay, besides the Kansas City-Miami game, what do you feel most strongly about?
My favorite bet of the weekend is Cowboys team total over 30.5. I just think at home, they're a machine. They average 37.5 points a game. Green Bay's a middle of the pack defense. And if you look at Green Bay, their stats are mediocre. And you examine their schedule even further, they have not played a lot of good offenses. There aren't a lot of good offenses in the league. And the few good ones they haven't had to play, they haven't had to play the Ravens. They haven't had to play the Cowboys. They haven't had to play the 49ers. They haven't had to play the Bills. They've had a pretty soft schedule of opposing quarterbacks. So I think that defense is in for a long day. So to me, the team total over in the Cowboys is the way to play it. That's 7.5. That hook scares me, especially, you know, Love and those receivers. If you're down 14 or so, the back door is open. I just think the Cowboys getting into like the mid 30s is the way to play this. I think they're going to get their points indoors, at home, good environment. Cowboys are going to score a bunch here.
I was once violently disagreed with, I quote, violently disagreed with on this network for misinterpreting crosswinds versus trade winds in the stadium in Buffalo. We might have that situation. And if we do, isn't 10 points against anyone too many?
Yeah, it is. I think that opened 9.5. I think it got bumped to 10 because it probably got buried with a bunch of 7-point teaser money on Buffalo, which, again, makes some sense. I mean, you get them under the 3 and you just basically have to win the game. That I can get. So you probably just jacked it up knowing people are going to bet the Bills. People are going to tease the Bills. So that's probably a little bit inflated. I agree. I mean, Buffalo, they just... they win. It's amazing they won all these games. Kansas City, Dallas, they run the table. They don't leave you with a great feeling. They leave you feeling kind of lukewarm, even winning the other night against Miami, the Charger game, the Patriot game. They just, I don't know, there's something missing with them. I agree. I can't lay 10 with this team. It would be Steelers or nothing.
So the lowest seed, in your opinion, that will win outright this weekend will be AFC or NFC?
Lowest seed that will win. I'll go Browns.
Browns. So not Rams at 6, Browns at 5 in the AFC.
Rams are a little too trendy for me. Detroit, I think Detroit's the better team. I think Detroit's being overlooked a little bit here, where Detroit's a play away from like being the 2 seed. They've been the better team all year. They're home. I think Detroit's being a little discounted.
I think that's a good point. I think they are, even, and I'm a guy who hasn't had them higher than 9th power rank, but I think there is a little bit of a feeling of that. All right, the name of the podcast is Shoulda Bet More.
Shoulda Bet More had Steve Fezzikon to break down all the wild card games, and he gave tips on how to save money in Vegas, how to drink for free, how to eat for free, how to get comps. It was incredible.
He is the maestro of such things. He is. Will Hill, everybody, and not the Will Hill. Hey, Will, don't forget we have a podcast after this show.
What time?
9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern.
Okay.
All right. He'll be there. Thank you, Will. Frank Schwab joins us from Yahoo, gives his wild card thoughts next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Barcanada, here at the D, the Barrage, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Show bouncer.
Good at insulting our guests, apparently.
Will Hill, very, very offended that you thought, after he knocked my Gilbert Gottfried, you said mine was better than his, and he is not happy.
We were just talking about it off air. I'm sorry, but that is the... Well, it's one of the toughest impressions to do.
So, I didn't even try to do it. Yeah, I wanted to get to Abe Hirschfeld.
Nobody should be beating themselves up over not being able to match it. But we were talking about how, like, if you just put 30 people in a room and you were like, give me your best Gilbert Gottfried.
That'd be brutal. Like,
yes, that would be one of the most brutal things you could sit through ever.
Yeah, I was just trying to get to Abe Hirschfeld. A 10-year-old boy, the Friars Club. This is from Master of Puppets. That Lakers-Raptors game, he has a different perspective. He says the Lakers-Raptors game was not as bad as it seems. I watched the whole fourth. The Raptors committed at least 10 of those fouls trying to extend the game. Raptors would foul AD. He would sink both. Then the Lakers were letting them score layups. And that's how it got there. AWB1903 Collectibles.
I had it on my TV. I just might have been asleep on the couch while I was... while it was on.
You're that guy now. You're that guy.
Yeah. It's hard to make it up till 10:30 our time to catch these games.
AWB 1903 says, dome playoff games. This is shame. talking about Detroit and Dallas. Yeah, don't play. Who wants a don't playoff game? That's how it is, though. Brian Schaefer. Gil, love the show, but as sports bettors, we have come up. He's speaking for sports bettors, not apparently not me. He says, as sports bettors, we have come to the realization that anything can happen. Most of us had Washington over Michigan, so both one seeds getting to the Super Bowl will probably not happen. Brian, you're absolutely right. You have to remember, I just spent a good week and a half killing people for defending FSU not being in the college football playoff. So I'm with you, man. Of course, people don't know what's going to happen. And you're right. Mathematically, it is not likely to happen. I still believe that is what's going to happen. Jason H11. How it is, Gilly Alexander. No, give us sushi place. It's what it is, by the way. What it is, Gilly. Pause. Alexander, like Darko Ryakovich. Trying to figure out Scotty Barnes' name. Oh, Eddie Vegan Runner says, oh, this is a great one. Lee Ilya, Chicago Cubs manager, infamous tirade in April of 1983. It is spectacular. Yeah. So good. And then Brian M. Responding to what Will was saying, Bill Simmons' hypothetical trade about Trevor Lawrence to D.C. He sent a gif of Randy Jackson from American Idol saying, yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog. That's so exactly what I would say.
I was wondering while you were answering that, because you're I agree with you with that kind of snap call answer that it would be no from the draft capital perspective. But if you're sitting there, if we're sitting here come April and Drake May's your quarterback, would you rather have Drake May or Trevor Lawrence?
Again, this is the problem with this question. Yeah. Drake May will be on a rookie deal.
Yep.
And so you have 4 years to surround Drake May. And if Drake May is really good, if, I don't know if he will be or not, no one does, but if he overperforms that rookie contract, you got a shot at a title.
Okay. All right.
So then that's,
I wanted to narrow the question down more to that, because you've been very anti Drake May. So I wanted, right. I wanted to make it that.
Yes. That, I'm not anti Drake May. What I'm saying is you've got to go with the rookie. When you have the number two pick, you have to play it that way and go from there. That's just how the economics work. And Trevor Lawrence, would they win more games with Trevor Lawrence than they did this last year? Of course. That ain't going to win you a Super Bowl. So,
unfortunately, as the weeks go on, months, days, whatever, it just feels it like Justin Fields. I'm sorry, man, but I don't think you're sticking around in Chicago.
We have a guest here, do we not?
No, we don't yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was wondering. I was like, why are you?
We're waiting on someone.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Say I'm sorry. I interrupted
you. No, just as the days go on, the Fields coming back to Chicago feels just less and less likely with everything we've talked about the past couple of days, with the finances in the NFL and how it works. It's just, even if you think everything's going to be equal, or even if Justin Fields is a little better, just to be able to start someone new on that rookie deal is so valuable.
That is what I've been trying to drive home with all this, which, and I remember, if you've listened to this show long enough, I was the guy who came on here when the Rams had Jared Goff before they got to, I was like, they should be the first team that gets to the Super Bowl with a guy like that and still restarts. Because you have to, because at that time it was like the determination probably was he's what's holding you back. And they ended up trading him and going a different direction. But essentially what they did was move on from him in a different way. But to radically change the structure of an NFL team by saying, hey, see that quarterback that just got us to the Super Bowl? We're going to start now with a rookie quarterback and try to do this again. So I think it is what you just distilled it to, which is you have to fight the thought of, oh, we could absolutely be better with this veteran quarterback right now. No question about it. But we have to fight that feeling. Fight that feeling, because I always use this team. The 19 is a different sport, but it gets across the point, which is the 1980s Washington Bullets, right? With Jeff Rulin and Ricky Mahorn. If you're old enough to remember the Bruce Brothers. The Bruce Brothers? Is that what they call them? The Bash Brothers? Bruce Brothers. Jeff Rulin and Ricky Mahorn were good enough to get the Washington Bullets, to lead the Washington Bullets to roughly a 40-42 or 42-40 record, somewhere hovering around 500 each and every year in the early 80s. And what did that do for the Washington Bullets, who had won a title? They won this just in. They won the 1978 NBA championship, but they didn't have those players anymore. They didn't have Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and Bobby Dandridge. They had a new generation of players who were just good enough to get them to the final seed in the playoffs. And what did that get them? That got them out immediately in the first round. They'd put up a fight. They'd win a game. But they'd ultimately go up against Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics, and they would never be able to win a series against them. And that was their story. And so your draft pick was never high enough to improve on that. So, and that led to, by the way, other teams had figured this out. That's why the Houston Rockets in the early 80s tanked to get a shot at Hakeem Olajuwon and then Ralph Sampson. And they went to the NBA Finals with those two guys in the early 80s. So, you know, that's the whole thing. You want to talk teasers here? Let's talk teasers.
Yeah, let's talk some teasers.
Teaser time, everybody. We don't have an open. I was acting like we did.
Yeah, we blew through it. We're blowing through it.
But here is the story with teasers this week again. You have chosen four of the six games in the NFL.
Yeah. And a little bit for different reasons. Yes, Texans plus 2.5 home against the Browns, obviously.
A long
teaser leg that would make a lot of sense. Dolphins up to 4.5 at DraftKings. So you could do the whole, if you want a 6-point teaser, take them up to 10.5. I never hate that personally. Cowboys 7.5. A lot of us have talked about this all week. That is a perfect long teaser leg with them at home. And then I put the Bucks in their guild, just because you are seeing still some 2.5s out there, some 3s, but you know those 3s for the main part are heavily juiced, right? So if you're playing a plus 3 minus 120, I think you can always make the argument of including that into a teaser as well. So yeah, those are kind of the four that I isolated. I don't know that you've brought up any this week that you're interested in.
Cowboys Texans would be the natural for me. Cowboys to essentially have to beat the Packers at home. I don't think many would disagree with that. Some feel like an outright upset could happen, but I think the Cowboys would be the most natural of all legs. And I do think the Texans, I know people are in the tank for the Browns, but I'll give CJ Stroud 8.5 points at home and work with that with Nico Collins. I think that's the next best leg. I will tell you this, the one that a lot of people are going to say is the Bucks at home on Monday night. Whether it's 2.5 or 3, by the way, we'll take away their sharp guard if they do it at 3, right? But no, I'm joking, by the way. I think, you know, that's perfectly, if you're forcing a teaser in wild card week, that's fine. We're not going to judge anyone for doing so.
I mean, I think that's a, you know, if you loved the Cowboys leg or you loved the Texans leg, for instance, I think it's fine when you're talking about, you know, you're getting plus 3, like minus 120 for the most part.
My point about the Bucks, though, if I could just finish that thought, is on Monday night is that I think a lot of people who are so down on the Eagles would immediately gravitate to the Bucks and say, oh, I'll take the Bucks at home plus 9. And sure, could that get there? Absolutely. But I feel about that. Like, I just have to think of what's the range of outcomes of that game. And I do feel there's a scenario where the Eagles actually win kind of handily. And you're like, oh, that's right. They are better than the Bucks, as bad as they are.
I hear what you're saying. Because I think I, similarly with the Dolphins.
Same thing. I wouldn't.
Like, I either think the Dolphins are winning outright or they're going to lose by a fair amount. And I think that same thing about the Bucks.
That's right. The more I think about that Dolphins-Chiefs game, the more I regret even making a small bet on the Dolphins. I think I would probably want no part of that because I can see a massive range of outcomes in that game.
Yeah, I mean the counter to that is I've been one of those people saying all year, and okay, Chiefs struggle to win by margin against anybody. And we've been talking about a lot of the Dolphins injuries and rightfully so. A lot of them are on the defensive side, right? They might have Jalen Waddle, might have Ram Mostert healthy for this game. You know, the offense could be looking pretty good. It might be 0 degrees, and it might be, you know, that part might be a struggle for him, but that's even why I just included him here. You bring it up to 10.5. I can understand why you'd be interested in it, but I think better chance they win outright.
If I ask you the Megapod question of these six games, what's the game you want no part of? You have to pick five sides. What's the one game you want no part of? I think it's Dolphins-Chiefs for me.
I think it is Dolphins-Chiefs.
Everybody assumes how the Dolphins will react with half their defense, but they say about assuming. We'll come back. More NFL on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game, just $5. Get 200 instantly in bonus bets. How about that? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VEGAS. That's VEGAS. Vegas. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Trip Tepper. The issue with the quarterback position is always contract. Commodes need a rookie quarterback so they can manipulate the salary cap. I'd take Jaden Daniels if I was Washington, since his skills are more in the modern quarterback mold of athleticism and arm talent. Trip Tepper, I believe you have hit on every single one of my talking points there. Michael Burns, my greatest rant is the, oh, this is a great one. Hal McCray of the Royals throwing his phone might have had a nip beforehand. Long season of losing, boiling over. I've talked to reporters that were in his office. They said you didn't see all of it. Epic. That was a great one. Hal McCray just throwing. We're not talking like a cell phone. We're talking old rotary phone back in the day with the Royals. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, Darko's rant just put all of our Serbian fathers on tilt. LOL. Chris Heath. Should I tear up my Darko Coach of the Year ticket, or does the propaganda campaign start today? Z Free. The rookie deal argument you went through reminds me of the last decade with Dame in Portland. They struggled to surround him with enough, and finally, the Blazers fans had to come to terms with the youth path, had to try again through the draft. Yeah. And then R2L, is that? Yeah, R2L wants to know, refuse to lose. He wants to know what the name of Will's new podcast is again. Will's new podcast is called Shoulda Bet More. He was coming up with names. He's like, oh, that's something everybody says all the time. Yeah. Shoulda bet more.
I like it.
Yeah. So he's got Fez on there. Fez a little under the weather again. Hope he feels better.
Like again or still?
Again, I think.
Okay. Because I still haven't gotten over it. I've been symptomatic for like a week.
Keep your space over there, okay, buddy.
I'll keep my symptoms over here, guy.
Fezzik, I think, got better because like we were, well, maybe he jumped the gun because he's like, meet me at Caesars. We're going to work out. I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you had your great
season. So I think he's sick again.
I will attest to sorry, Will, if I offended your Gilbert Gottfried impression, but the podcast, it really, even just for Fezzik's Vegas tips at the end are great. I was explaining one of them to you yesterday, but you got to go there to check that out because Steve has got this town wired, man. Oh, it is incredible.
He's always like, she's always, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And I always say to him, I go, Steve, my brain doesn't work the same way yours does.
Right, exactly.
Right? Like, it just doesn't. Like, I have a cousin, my cousin Itzik, who I brought up on this show before, who he will spend 7 hours trying to figure out a way to finagle $10 out of an airline.
Oh, my God. It's my father.
And I will say to him, I'll be like, Itzik, maybe just work a little harder. You'll get the $10 on your own. Why you got to do it that way? Oh, no, Gil, trust me. This is how I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fez is that on steroids. But Fez doesn't need 7 hours. He's got it all wired, figured out. We've had him on the show talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite, it is, I think for people out there that wonder, that ask us questions of like, what's it like to really live in Vegas, work in Vegas. You live right, you know, basically right on the strip.
Yeah.
You brought it up already, so I'm going there. But the fact that Steve, what, every day he lives. I mean, he lives. You know, not far away from the strip, but away from the strip. And drives all the way down to Caesar's Palace to work out because he's got the whole system figured out as far as parking, you know, valeting and what he's going to do.
But I will tell you this, man. He's given me like my brain is so not like his that he has. He's taught me a bunch of things with this. My entire fridge is now stocked.
Right.
Yeah, with nothing but free drinks. And I'm talking like Fiji water and Gatorades and Apple, like whatever you want. And come over. My fridge is stocked. All because of him sharing tips.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. So it trust me, it works. Okay. You made a bet.
I did.
Every day I leave here, I'm making some kind of Iga Świątek, Ravens, Niners combo. Kelly made an MVP bet in the National Basketball Association yesterday where Nikola Jokic remains the short shot at plus 180.
Well, jumps. This actually flipped a little bit.
Flipped a little bit.
Yeah, Joel Embiid had been the short shot. He's drifted here.
Shea is two now.
Yep.
at 3-1. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation. Joel Embiid 4-1, the aforementioned. Luka, who they've been trying to give this to for years, plus 425.
It is incredible.
Nobody else is close, including Giannis, who's 13-1.
Yeah.
All right, you made a bet.
Who'd I bet on, Gil?
You bet a one of you bet one of two people.
Your two guesses. It's one of the two guesses.
You think I know the guesses?
This is how well Gil and I know each other.
Yeah, I think I'm right. I'm just staring at you. I'm looking into your brain. Okay, you either bet Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That would be option one that I would that I would have thought you would have guessed. Did not bet him, though.
Okay.
Did not bet him.
And then Giannis is the other 13-1.
Giannis is who I bet.
God, we've been spending too much time
way
together.
Way too much time together. Yes,
I
exactly.
swear I had no idea.
You know these are two. Those are two of my favorite players in the NBA. This is all about the pricing, though, in this market right now. So Joel Embiid had been the favorite. This is something to start tracking here. We have the new rule in place this year, and this really flipped in the past, like, 48 hours. I put my Giannis a bet in 2 days ago, I think it technically was, and Embiid was still the favorite at that point. What's going on here is the whole new rule thing that you have to play 65 games to qualify for the MVP. Embiid keeps kind of racking up these missed games here and there now, and he's now down to, I think it is, eight more that he can miss the rest of the season. And then now, does that mean that he's definitely going to miss out and he's going to be hit that point where he doesn't qualify? No, we don't know that, but all I'm saying is it's January 10th. There's a lot of regular season left to go here, and he keeps missing days like this. He's going to pull himself out of one actual injury, right? He tweaks an ankle or something. He might be on the outside looking into this award. If the season stopped today and you had to hand this award out, you're giving it to Joel Embiid. That's without a doubt. So the fact that he's at 4-1, if you think somehow he's going to run pure, not get injured at all, yeah, you're getting a little value there, and you probably will for the next couple months. I think it's a good time to scoop up a long number on a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I can tell you, Gil, is scoring more points than he has than either year when he won the MVP. He's currently doing that. I think a lot of this gets overshadowed by a couple things. Damian Lillard being on this team now, and the defense taking a step back, right? But the defense taking a step back has a lot more to do with the changes they made with Dame and Jrue Holiday than what they've got right now with Giannis. So you look at a lot of his just accounting stats, a lot of them look very similar. That 31.4 points per game, though, right now would be the highest in his career that he is averaging. So it's a long NBA season. I didn't have an MVP bet yet. Actually, that's not true. I did bet Kawhi like 2 weeks ago, like 150-1, because the Clippers are on this tear.
Liar.
So, yeah, two MVP bets now.
All right, I have a couple questions.
This is the time, I think, where you and I talk often of hey, this guy has drifted to a point where I'm double digits. To me, he is one of the best players in the NBA. Just kind of broke down all the stats. It's a good time to add a ticket at this price.
When was the last time Giannis in any year at any time was this long for MVP?
I mean, great question. I would say it's probably happened every year. He hasn't won it, right, but not towards the end of the season.
End.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, when's the last time in January? Good question.
Okay. Also, do you know the structure of MVP voting in the NBA?
Yeah, so it's just like the NFL MVP is now. It's the same. That's the same.
Well,
thing
I know it's NBA. It's a point system. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They didn't give it to Nikola Jokic last year. In part, one could speculate that they just didn't want to make him a 3-in-a-row winner. And we had talked about it ad nauseum last year, which was the only three people ever to win 3 MVPs in a row. Larry Joe Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, and who was the third? I want to say it was Bill Russell, right? Was
yeah,
the third?
I think so.
Yeah, Bill Russell. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and Larry Joe Bird. Not Jordan, not Magic, not anybody else. And so Nikola Jokic did not get it last year. Probably should have, quite frankly.
Yes.
Certainly could have. Do you think there will be some boomerang effect to that this year, where voters will be like, you know what, we kind of didn't give it to him for that reason last year. There's nothing wrong with giving it to him 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, Jokic is the favorite, I think rightfully so in my mind, with this. Again, this market has shifted just in the past few days. I think with the Joel Embiid game count being at where it's at, yes, he deserves to be the short shot. There is a very good chance that Nikola Jokic wins this award again. It's a very good there's a very good chance Nikola Jokic for the vast majority of the next 10 years should be up there in the this discussion every single year.
Final question. But if the Oklahoma City Thunder somehow get to be the number one seed, Shea wins it automatically?
I think so, and I would hope so. I just hope we're past a point in the NBA where we're not going to say, oh, he plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, I should hope so. I should hope so. Mike Pritchard joins us on the other side. Dan Lepetard is next on the DK Network. We're coming back right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.